The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know, this morning we're beginning a new sermon series that covers the first 12 chapters of Joshua. But before we jump into that first chapter, I'm going to invite us to go all the way to the end of the book where we made an introduction last week in chapter 24 to ponder that for a moment. It closes with a choice. The choice is this: whom will you serve? Whom will you serve? Have you made that choice today? You know, if you have, that's great. God has chosen you, and in a moment, we're going to learn how to live into, walk into all those promises that God has for us as followers of Jesus. But if you haven't chosen, then consider what's before you. Jesus says to his followers, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid. For your Father, God, has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Isn't that amazing? God desires to give you and I the kingdom. What an amazing promise. It's the promise of God. Jesus gave everything, gave his life on the cross so you and I would not perish in our sin, but that we would have life, and not just life, but life to its fullest, life in all its abundance, life in all of its promise. The Apostle John, he records Jesus' words at the end of the Bible, all the way in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." The Lord will come in. Before we go farther this morning, I encourage you, choose this day whom you will serve. I'm going to challenge us over the next 6 weeks to read the whole book of Joshua. This sermon series, it really only goes through the first 12 chapters. That is the conquest of the promised land. It's how God brings his people into the land that was promised to Abraham and all his descendants. But as we read through that, then the 13 through 21 chapters, that's actually the division of the land. And to be honest, as you're reading through that, you may want to go a little faster through that part. It talks about all the division and giving out. It is the fulfillment of the promise, so it's important, but, you know, read on through. And then as you get to the last three chapters again and ending in chapter 24, then we slow down again and remember what God has done for his people as we make that choice to follow. So here's what the season in Joshua includes for us over the next 6 weeks. So we're having the sermon series, learning these lessons of faithfully following God into the promises he has. And then on your own, encouraging you or with your family, read the book of Joshua and go through those 24 chapters over the next 6 weeks. And then adults, you're invited to participate in a Joshua 24 experience, opportunity to get together over six faith factors that move us towards this authentic life in Christ. So during the Sunday school hour on Sunday at 9:30 or on Wednesday evenings after our midweek supper, you can come and join in that group and really dig into God's word together, an amazing experience. And then students, you get to, today you got to enjoy, if you were here, a walk around the church, kind of a Joshua experience all of its own as Pastor Greg played the trumpet at the end. So finally, there's a 30-day devotional that was written by Pastor Dave Mergen of the Alexandria Covenant Church to help us through this Joshua experience. You can pick up devotionals in the Joshua 24 room if you want. There's some left. Go ahead and dig into God's Word with that as it engages us in some questions around this journey. So now I want to invite you to take out your Bible. Take out a Bible app if you have one, or one in the pew. You're also going to find the scriptures up here on the screen if you like to just look up there. But we're going to dig into God's Word. There's some notes pages if you're a note taker. Write down some points if you're a discipleship confirmation student. Here's your opportunity to take some notes. Write down the bold things that you see on the screen today. So we begin in Joshua chapter 1, sixth book of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" What a place to start a book. Moses, my servant, is dead. So Moses, he's described as Israel's greatest leader. He's a servant of the Lord, a high title for Moses. He was used by God to deliver them out of slavery in Egypt. Moses received God's law and he taught it to God's people. Moses knew God like no one else. Moses was in his presence. Moses experienced God. Moses walked with God faithfully for 40 years. Moses was an amazing man of God. Israel's identity was as God's chosen people was formed and developed under Moses' leadership. And at the edge of the promised land, just when they're ready to walk in, just when they're ready to take hold of all God has for them, Moses dies. Now what? Well, Israel's mandate or Israel's identity has always been wrapped up in a purpose. And that purpose is this: to make God known. To make God known. Their purpose for existence, the reason God rescued them from slavery, the reason he promised Abraham all these descendants was to make Yahweh known, to make God known to the nations. You know, they are receiving this inheritance, this blessing, this promise, and through obedience, they will reveal Yahweh, they'll reveal God to all the people around them. So that hasn't changed, really, and over all these years for the church today. We are still called as a church to make God known, to make followers who make followers of Jesus, to make God known. You and me, the person next to you in the pew, our role is to make God known. Bethlehem Covenant Church exists, why? To make God known. You're listening. That's great. Good job. To make God known. And as we look at the book of Joshua, the Israelites, they face this dilemma. How will they make God known without Moses, their great leader? Well, here's the answer: by being bold and taking hold. Being bold and taking hold. So Israel has been brought to the edge of the Jordan River. The promised land is right across on the other side. It's Joshua's time, now that Moses is dead, it's his time to take over. So some of you, you're new here today as a follower of Jesus or just beginning that walk with Jesus, and that's great. You're going to have some amazing experiences in your lifetime if you continue to faithfully follow Jesus. I hope you do. Through the ups and downs of life, God will show himself faithful. As Susan, my sister, knows and has experienced and shares with us, it's an amazing journey. Some of you also here have been under leadership, the leadership of others, for some time. And if that's you today, I want to talk to you. God is calling you to step out. God is calling you to step out. God is calling you into leadership. Maybe it's in your family to take a role, to take that leadership position. Maybe it's in your community. God has called you to a special role to step into and guide people around you. Maybe it is in the church or some ministry to step in and really step into that calling that God has placed on your heart. You know, we don't want to step into leadership before God calls us. We don't want to step into leadership before we're ready. But I think more often we're reluctant to step out in faith when we know God has called us. So the Holy Spirit might be prompting you today. That might be God's voice to you. Maybe you're a student and you know that you have a leadership role with your peers. And maybe you're wondering if you're ready for that. Well, if God's calling you, then you are called to take a step of faith. And I encourage you to talk to Pastor Greg or Miranda and talk about what does that mean to take on that role. Are you a Joshua? Kids? Adults? Are you a Joshua? Are you being called to lead God's people? You know, if that's you today, don't hesitate. Step out in faith. Be bold. Take hold. So Joshua's time has come, and we learn what he's called into as we keep on reading. It says in verse 2, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites." So Joshua's time has come. He needs to rise up now and lead. He must always remember It's never about Joshua. God is going to use him to deliver the land to the Israelites, but it is simply not about Joshua. The Lord leads, Joshua follows. I have a little donkey on my desk in the office, and it pertains to a little story that we read in the Bible about Jesus as he's coming into Jerusalem on that last week, and all the crowds are cheering him and worshiping him and praising him as, you know, the Son of God, and he's riding a donkey in, and the donkey's going along thinking, wow, look at all this. These people really like me. They're laying things down in front of me. They're cheering me on. The donkey thinks this is all about him, but the truth is, who's it about? It's about Jesus. It's not about the donkey. And it reminds me, I'm the donkey. Oops, wait. It's not about me, right? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what God can do through you. So how will God do it? The Lord lays it out pretty clearly for Joshua in the next verse. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. So this is a vast area. The Bible describes, you know, a place that some scholars think all the way from to Iran and Iraq. There's a territory that's far more than they initially take in the conquest. So it describes to us what we need to do to fulfill our mandate as followers of Jesus, and that is this. We need to take hold. We need to take hold. Take hold of the promises of God. So God promised this vast swath of land, but they had to set their feet on it, right? They had to walk into it. They had to actually physically go through it and step in it. And so by the time Joshua died at the end of this book, they hadn't even come close to fulfilling that inheritance. Pastor John Levon from Alexandria Church, he talks about this as being like 300,000 square miles. And at the height of Israel's reign, there was only like 30,000, like 10% of the land that they had been promised. You know, some scholars don't agree with that much, but the point is clear. They didn't step into all that God had promised them. So God was telling Joshua, you know, this is already done. This is already accomplished. I am giving you this land. This is the promise. This is the territory. This is where God's people are going to flourish. It's good land, land flowing with milk and honey. This is the land Abraham walked on. This is what I promised to him. This is the blessing of Yahweh, and God's people, through God's blessing, will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. All they have to do is walk in it. Why didn't they do it? Why didn't they take all the land? Well, somehow along the way, the people got satisfied with less. And it reminds us that you and I, we can become complacent. We can settle for less. We often settle. So how does it happen? Well, you know, as new believers, we get hungry for the Word of God, right? We get excited. We hear about this salvation in Christ. We experience the presence of God. We experience the freedom that God gives us, and we want to dig in. We want to experience all the promises God has. We want to get into His Word, and as we read, our eyes are opened up, and we're just filled with this knowledge of God, and we sense the glory of God, and we get to experience this life together in the church, and we experience what it means to truly have fellowship and faith, and it's great. We begin to have a support in our difficulties and in our struggles, and we begin to share the joys that we have with one another, and life together in Christ is amazing. It's awesome. And then as we're going along, somewhere along the line, we get comfortable, and we start to settle. We get satisfied. You know, we might keep studying, we might keep worshiping every Sunday morning, we might keep meeting together, but we find ourselves not taking those steps of faith like we used to. We find ourselves not quite as hungry for the Word of God and maybe not digging in like we used to. And we're not quite as apt to share the Word of God as we used to, or step in where there's a need like we used to. We don't lead as many people to Jesus like we used to. We stop teaching the Word and sharing our experiences like we used to. We begin to settle. And if that's what's happening today, if that's what's happening to you, I want to encourage you, be bold. Take hold. Step into the promises of God once more. Take a risk. Take a chance. Walk in faith. Step out once again. Take God at his word. Take your step into the promised land. You're called to be a confident follower of Jesus. Courageous. Set your foot in it again. Walk in it. Walk through it. Step it out. Walk all the way to the promises, all the promises that God has for you. Be courageous one more time. Continue to press on until you see Jesus face to face on that day he calls you home. Step in. Keep going. Don't stop. We learned this summer about what it means to stretch our faith so we can go further with Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Press on toward the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." Take hold once more. Be bold. Is there any amens on that? One more time. All right, that's pretty good. Now, we can only walk this out if we're confident in the one who walks with us. So for that, we need to be bold. Be bold in trusting that God is with us, right? God is for us. God said to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." You know, this is guaranteed success. All Joshua has to do is remember to be bold. Remember what God has already done. Remember the plagues on Egypt when God redeemed Israel out of Pharaoh's hand, when they were unable to do anything for themselves. The parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh's armies, all by God's power. The provision in the desert over 40 years as they wandered, God provided manna from heaven, bread from heaven. The defeat of the Midianites on the border, God did all of this, and now God has brought them to the verge of stepping into the promised land. Yahweh has done all of this. Be bold. The promised land is already delivered. It's already accomplished. No opponent will stand. You know, the prophet Isaiah, he speaks about the outcome for his people, saying this, "But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. No weapon will prosper." As followers of Jesus, we need to recognize no weapon against us will stand. Joshua can be bold because Yahweh is with him. Scripture says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you, never forsake you." The same power, the same outcome. God will be with his people. God will be with Joshua as he steps out in faith. God didn't abandon Moses. God is not going to abandon Joshua. God is not going to abandon you or I. You know, the scripture says three times, "Be strong and very courageous." God is speaking to Joshua, "Be strong, be courageous, be strong, be very courageous." This won't be easy, but it's complete. They haven't experienced it yet, but it'll be done. The victory is won. All they have to do is walk into it. It may look daunting, right? It may look impossible. Across the Jordan, all the armies against Israel, but with God, all things are possible. Nothing formed against them will stand. What are you facing today that seems impossible? What are you facing that seems like an insurmountable obstacle? What are you facing that's impossible? If God is calling you, be strong. Be courageous. If God is for you, no weapon can prosper against you. With God, all things are possible. Be confident in God's presence because you are a child of God. God is for you. God is for you. Dallas Willard, he writes about a little boy whose mom had died. He was especially sad and lonely at night, and he would come to his father's room and ask if he could sleep with him. And even then, he couldn't rest until he knew not only that he was with his father, but that his father's face was turned toward him. "Father, is your face toward me now?" "Yes," his father would say. "You are not alone. I am with you. My face is turned toward you." When at last the boy was assured of this, he could rest. God is for you. God's face is turned toward you. God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God is for you. God is with you. Be confident. Therefore, be courageous. Walk into the impossible and see the deliverance of God. God just shows Joshua how he's going to walk out this promise. God says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." You know, God reveals how he's now going to guide Israel. You know, under Moses, this is kind of amazing, but God had a unique way of guiding his people, of leading them, and it was by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. You know, when God wanted to guide his people through the desert, he would just remove this pillar and it would move through the desert. What would Israel do but follow? Moses would say, "Let's go, let's follow the Lord," and they would follow this cloud and follow this fire. But that's no longer going to be the case now as they enter into the promised land. Under Joshua, he's going to be led and guided a new way, and that is through God's word, through God's law. As Joshua leads the people into obedience to the law, they will be guided into God's promises for them. So now they are following through God's word. So they are to take hold of God's promises as they take hold of God's word. That's for us today. Take hold of God's word and be bold. There was a recent study, I believe this was a Microsoft study. It showed that we may have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. The Microsoft study, it says that people generally lose concentration after only 8 seconds, highlighting the effects of an increasingly digitized lifestyle on the brain. So as a comparison, scientists think that a goldfish has a 9-second attention span. Pretty interesting, huh? So the theory says that a weaker attention span may be a side effect of the brain evolving to a mobile internet. The survey also confirmed general differences. When asked this question, "When nothing is occupying your attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone," 77% age 18 to 24 responded, "Yes." And so it was different for people over age 65. The number reaching for their mobile phone when nothing is occupying their attention was 10%. So if you're under 65 and I haven't lost your attention with this illustration, then congratulate yourself on the back because your attention span is greater than a goldfish. So why do I tell you this? I don't know. No, wait, I do have a point here. I was told a few years back that if I really wanted to meditate on God's word, if I really wanted to dig in, then I needed to do it in the book, like a book, a Bible with the pages open, not on my phone. And I argued, I got this great app. It works wonderfully, and it does. And there are certainly times and places for that. But the problem with an app is this. There's always other apps that are giving me notices and beeps. There's messages coming through. There's all kinds of things that distract me, and I become like a goldfish, right? So to really dig in, to really meditate on God's word, to really let it flow through us, to ruminate in our mind, to begin to memorize it, to live with it and let it live with us, we need to have the word before us in a focused time of concentration. Let the word flow through us. Now God commands Joshua one final time, "Be strong. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If we're not confident in God, we won't follow God. If we're not strong and courageous, we will be fearful and fail. So you and I need to tell ourselves, soul, be strong. Today, heart, be courageous. Be very strong. Be very courageous. The Lord, my God, is with me today and forever. Be strong and courageous. God is with me. The Lord is with me. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Remind them, the Lord is with you. Continually remind one another, the Lord is with you. And also with you. Be strong and courageous. After the Lord gives him the game plan, Joshua sets out. So Joshua ordered his officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready 3 days. Read that again. How long? 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you. So if we're going to be bold, if we're going to take hold, when we know that God has promised and we are called, we need to step out and do it without hesitation. Don't hesitate. So often we want to get it right. We want to be sure. We want to make no possibilities for mistake. But that isn't how God calls us. He calls us to listen, to hear, and to follow, not to hesitate. Step out. Don't wait. Step out. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Step out. You know, I'm getting better at that myself. This isn't to scare you, but there's times when God puts your names before me. I think about you, and I used to tend to think, well, what's going on? Wondering what's going on, and I'm thinking. And I've learned to stop thinking and just really go to prayer. That's what God is doing. He's calling me to pray for you. And when a name comes to my mind, when you come on my heart, I don't try to think about what's going on. God knows what's going on. God is with you. All I'm called to do is pray that the divine presence of God leads you exactly where God wants to take you. To pray. To do it immediately. Not to hesitate. And then let it go. Because God can do all God wants to do. Don't hesitate. So this passage nears its end. Joshua's having a conversation with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Well, these two and a half tribes, they settled on the other side of the Jordan. Not the promised land side. They like the other side. And God said, that's fine. You can do that. Moses gave them the land. They just had to go fight with the rest of Israel until they had rest in the land, until all their enemies were conquered. Then they could go back and resettle on the far side of the Jordan, the near side of the Jordan. Pastor John Levon, he makes a good argument. He said, they settled for less than what God had promised. They never entered in to the promised land. They liked it where they were. They didn't go any further. They didn't cross the Jordan. And in the end, it didn't go very well for them. They were cut off from the rest of God's people. They were the first to be cast out of their land. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less than what God has for you. We want to live in the fullness of God's promises. We can't settle for less. We need to be bold. We need to take hold. Don't settle for the near side of the Jordan. Don't settle to think to yourselves, oh, my walk's good enough. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I like my life. I like my faith. I like my circle. You know, I like the way I'm doing things. Don't settle. You know, if you aren't striving ahead, we're falling behind. If we aren't moving toward God, we're moving away from God. We naturally become complacent. So we need to keep striving, keep going, keep challenging yourself to step into all that God has promised you. Step into the promised land. Be bold and take hold. And the people of Israel, they're ready. They're ready to follow Joshua. Then they answered, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you have commanded them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Take hold of God's word. Let it soak in and become part of who you are. Read the book of Joshua. Join a 24 group. Get the devotional. Dig into God's word and be confident. Take your step into the promised land. Don't hesitate and don't settle. Choose this day whom you will serve. And as you do, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, we have a mandate to make God known. Be bold. Take hold.